Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's been about 2.5 years since a group from Portage UCC went to Guatemala to learn about a couple of the projects that PUCC supports through Foods Resource Bank. And this was different than most other mission trips for all intents and purposes. You can call it a mission trip because it was a trip with a partner with whom we do mission. But it was a learning trip. Our job wasn't to do, it wasn't to work, it was to be and to share, and most of all, to listen. I remember the two translators we had for most every site we were at. Olga, for the first couple of days, translating from the Quiche to Spanish, and then Alex, our American guide, translating from the Spanish into English, and eventually another translator later on in the week for the indigenous Mam language. I remember the stories and the feeling of pride that was palpable from those who had received the support from CIADEG, the local partner organization, and the gratitude they expressed meeting folks from around the world with absolutely no connection to them, who have supported their agency, that is their ability and power to create, build, and sustain a life free from hunger, ultimately leading to a life full of education and opportunity. I remember visiting a young man who was caring for his nephew, who was sacrificing buying his own seizure medication so that the money they earned could go towards medication for his nephew who was living with HIV. Originally, the man's sister was involved with the program but had passed. And given the unique circumstances, CIADEG, the local organization in Guatemala, supported the young man in the project in growing and seeking to attain food security. I remember sipping the hot chocolate they had shared with us as a sign of hospitality and welcome, and gratitude for the support and the time together for us to learn about their lives. One of my favorite stories was in this valley town, and a woman was showing us her garden, and she talked about how her youngest daughter was at risk of being of malnutrition. And with being with the program for less than a year, her daughter was out of that risk for malnutrition zone, I guess you'd call it. She was no longer considered being at risk for malnourishment. And so this little girl would ask her mom to go into the garden and just pick up a radish. And all she had to do was wash it off and eat it. And that was something that they were able to do now that they hadn't been before. It was this power to be able to provide good, nutritious food that her daughter was now able to just pick up out of their own home garden. But during this visit, our guide, Alex, asked Maria which part of the radish she prefers. Well, so what was funny about that is that the community that we were walking around with, her friends, started laughing at this question because they didn't know that you could eat both the bulb and the leaves of the radish. And so Maria just immediately started talking about and educating her community right then and there. And so this dialogue, this exchange started happening, and it was beautiful and powerful to witness. But then there were the countless stories of women leaving situations of abuse and domestic violence, but with little to no access to outside resources. And FRB, by way of CIADEG, through education and relationships, many of these communities now have the opportunity and opportunities for independence, financial and food security, a sense of community, safety, and a growing voice in government. One of the things that makes FRB's work unique is their approach to aid. They haven't sought to put a band-aid on issues of food insecurity by simply giving out food, or telling communities in different climates with different soil compositions or elevations what crops we think they should be growing. Rather, the organization has worked collaboratively with communities and community leaders and seeking support from within those communities, finding out which crops they already grow but can be grown with greater yield, greater quality, greater nutrition, and ultimately less environmental impact as well. incorporating the use of different farming techniques, greenhouses, the use of rainwater and cisterns to irrigate crops, making organic pesticides from materials that they already have, and organic fertilizers, and being able to feed their families first with what they have grown, then selling the excess. But it's not just limited to farming practices. It's also health, education, nutrition, trades such as textiles work are growing areas that help support and sustain individuals, families, and communities. And since Food Resource Bank's inception, Portage UCC, our crop, the seeds that we have planted, so to speak, through our gifts have yielded well over $1 million to support not just the communities part of the Guatemala Quetzaltenango project, but food security programs around the world. The most important thing that I can do on this FRB Celebration Sunday is to bring back the stories, sharing with you that these gifts have and continue to make a difference in the lives of those who are able to receive them. And it does not go without gratitude. So as we look at our scripture for this morning and how this passage relates to FRB Celebration Sunday in the life of our church, one of the questions that I kept asking myself was, am I complicating this? Am I making it harder than it actually is? And my gut reaction says yes. But we as humans, we've never made anything more complicated than it actually has to be, right? Just simple. We like to keep it that way. Pastor Mary Kay and I were talking this week, and this is the third time that Jesus is saying to his disciples that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And to paraphrase one commentary, the disciples are still scratching their heads. No matter how directly Jesus tries to communicate with them, they still don't understand. And James and John go so far as to tell Jesus that he will do what they tell him to do. Oddly enough, it felt really weird reading that passage about others telling Jesus what he was going to do. But then Jesus lays it out. Do you drink from the same cup as I do? Yes. Are you baptized by the same waters that I was? Yes. The disciples respond. But what is he really asking? Because my mind goes to Luke where Jesus prays, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. In the garden at Gethsemane, living into what will be his execution because of his witness to love, grace, and forgiveness. And his discussion, listening to my favorite podcast for the scriptures, Pulpit Fiction. It's such a great name for that podcast. But this discussion, their discussion of the text, actually back from 2015, prompted, I wonder if he's really asking his disciples, are you ready to live into what it really means to follow me? Are you willing to give up everything and undo, redefine, and reorient power, not by fist or position, but by love? We hear the bell of Jesus' humanity toll pretty loudly and clearly in this moment by his question of cup and baptism, of sharing in the forgiveness of sin and baptism as a dying and being born into new life. Jesus is once again subverting the powers and principalities. He is saying that institutions do not have the ultimate say when it comes to matters of love and grace, and that the needs of the world cannot be satisfied by the order of the world as humankind has shaped it to be. And while Jesus expresses that it's not up to him as to far as who gets to go first, it's then a matter of focusing on here and now. What can be done before it's too late? Before our days have gone and the opportunity to share in God's community and the creation of God has passed. So I've got a lot of questions coming up, just to forewarn you. So I'm going to take some time in between each one. But the first couple of questions. What do we want in and from life. If you want to say, if not. The next question. What do we need in and from life? And are those two things different? And if so, why? Or this other question, is how we achieve and reach what we need and what we want different? If so, why? Because I wonder what it would mean to change the way that we understand and order our lives in ways where we want the things we need in, of, and from this life. I keep hearing those words from the Be the Church that were read earlier. Would it mean giving up everything, as we've heard in the scriptures these past couple of weeks? Would it mean assessing who and how we are with and in the world? Would it mean shifting our priorities to wanting our needs? So how do we begin to make this happen? Is it with our corn bags and our commitments to FRB? Is it a commitment to and with those around the world whom we will never know, and yet we say we believe in our common humanity? Is it with the Open and Affirming 2.0 initiative? Is it with a stronger commitment to our community and mission partners? Is it a matter of approaching one another with a greater sense of compassion and listening? Is it engaging our world in ways that challenge systems and structures that seek to divide rather than unite? Is it by working to undo, redefine, or reorient systems of power, not by fist, but by love? And I'm selfishly asking these questions just as much for myself as I am of you all. Inspired by Mary Kay's words over the past few weeks as we've wrestled with and struggled through these texts. And I thank you for your challenge, your charge, and your call to us all. So on this FRB Sunday, I believe that if we need community, going back to our needs, if we need the common good, if we need love, peace, justice, extravagant welcome from this life, we have the opportunities in front of us, even in our hands right here and now, to do just that. And to quote someone near and dear to my Methodist siblings, admitting that I have changed one pronoun from you to we, here's a little John Wesley for y'all this morning, where he says, "Do all the good we can, by all the means we can, in all the ways we can, in all the places we can, at all the times we can, to all the people we can, as long as ever we can." At the end of the day, it's a call for us to serve boldly, in truth and in love, by the example set before us by Jesus Christ. Amen.